praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love your presence. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. Our Savior, our Lord, the one who is worthy of honor, our reverence. We revere you, Lord, this morning. We honor you. We say that you are our God, our most high God, the God over all gods, the God we choose to serve and call our King, our Lord, our Savior. There is no one like you, no one to compare with you. You have no rival. You have no equal. Why don't you just say that to the Lord in my life? You have no rival. You have no equal. There is no one like you for me, Jesus. Like your disciples, we say to you this morning, where else could we go? Who else could we go to? You have the words of eternal life. In your light, we see light. In your presence, there's joy. Every good thing. Rest for our souls. Wisdom for our minds. Oh, equip us, Lord, this morning, we pray. Why don't you tell the Lord, Lord, I want to hear every word that you have to say. I'm not just taking this as another word. I'm taking this as your word for me personally. Train us, Lord. Train us this morning. Speak to us. Lead us in the way we should go. Let us find humble, willing hearts this morning. We pray you will find humble, willing hearts this morning. Listening ears. Open eyes. I want to take everything, Lord, this morning. Like we've just been singing. On the table, there's living bread. We want to take everything off that table this morning, Jesus. For your glory and for our blessing. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let it be. Let's give him some praise, church. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, King Jesus. So mighty, so worthy. You can take your seats. Well, good morning, church at home as well. It's so great to be together in the way that we can be at this time. You know, the Holy Spirit, he keeps us united. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's an ability of God, even though physically we can't all be together. The Holy Spirit is able to be the glue in his church to hold us together supernaturally and invisibly, because that's how good and great he is. Well, you may have noticed, or you certainly will have noticed the chair. There you go, for those of you at home and those of you here. I'm using a prop this morning. I'll explain more about that in a moment. Well, I want to start by saying this word has not been easy to understand. It's kind of been like a wet bar of soap. You know, when you get your handle on it and you think you've got it and it pops out, and then you get it again and then it pops out again. Like that. That's how it's been. I had it in my spirit, but it wasn't in my head. And I don't know if you know this. I know some of you do. But your spirit knows things that your head doesn't. You know things on the inside, but you don't know it here. And as we pray and listen to him, we get to understand in our minds what's kind of going on in our spirits. And in a way, that's what the word is about this morning. And I said to the Lord midweek, it was like a plea, really. Lord, I don't want to waste any more paper. Just give it to me plain. I need this clear. I started thinking about the rainforest. Like, seriously, because I had so many screwed up bits of paper. I got to get this in my head. And really, I'm going to use a lot of scriptures. I'll tell you now. We're going to do a Bible study, but I am trusting it's going to be a full of life Bible study this morning. But it kind of, the whole message can be summed up in one scripture. And it's 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. And it says, therefore, I remind you, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That was Paul to Timothy. But the Lord says to us this morning, I remind you, whatever your name is, stir up the gift of God that's within you. Now, what gift do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. He is the gift of all gifts. He is the gift who keeps on giving. And I know individually we all have different gifts in our lives and different graces on our lives. But the source is the same, 1 Corinthians 12. He gives them all and he works them all out in our lives. And we need to stir up everything that we have got from God. And if I could kind of put one thought in your head this morning, it's basically you need to stir God up in your life. I need to stir God up in my life. And so I've got this Visual Aid bottle of salad dressing representing you and representing me. And normally, I mean, it's frothed up a bit because I've been shaking it, but I hope you can tell there is a separation. Normally, when we refer to the Holy Spirit, he's the oil, isn't he? But for the purposes of this demonstration, you're the oil and he's the flavor at the bottom. So at the moment, you're on the top and he's at the bottom. I'm just going to set that there. Because I want to talk to you about how it was before we were saved. Before you and I became Christians, we were just one substance, just oil, just you, your ideas, your thoughts, your goals, agendas, what you wanted out of life. Me, myself, and I, me. We didn't have Jesus, just one substance. And you might have thought, well, I'm all right. And you might have looked at yourself and thought, you know, I'm okay. And other people might have looked at you and thought, well, they're all right. But the Bible says something very different. It says, you were in darkness. But more than that, darkness was in you. And darkness, it's not just an absence of light. Darkness is the presence of sin and everything earthly or even demonic, everything that is at enmity with God, not just on the outside, it was on the inside. But praise God, there was a monumental day in my history and your history, if you're born again, when you invited Jesus to come and live in you by his Spirit, he moved in. Another substance. You have the substance of God himself, incredible, on the inside of you. And I think we get so used to hearing this, we kind of get a bit blasé. We kind of get a bit familiar. Oh yeah, you know, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You know, maybe you've been a Christian for years. But you move the conversation on pretty quick. Oh, but let me tell you about my work. I got promotion recently. I've become a deputy of department. Or, you know, did you watch the rugby yesterday? Chiefs are doing really well at the moment. And we kind of get excited about a whole load of other stuff. But let me tell you, if Jesus isn't exciting to you as a believer, there's issues. You know, you really, you've got a problem. It's because you're not really in relationship with him. If he's not in your thoughts and if he's not in your conversation, I want to put it to you, it's because you're not really connecting with him. You know, he's buried down deep under a whole load of other stuff, other roles you have in life, other interests, other priorities. He's in there. He's part of your life. You're in church on a Sunday morning or you're watching online, you know. But our God is a jealous God. James 4, verse 7 says, the Spirit in us yearns jealously. Basically, God wants more. He wants more than just a little section that we carve out for him, the God spot, in your week or even in your day. He wants to be involved in everything. And here's the point where I shake the bottle. He wants to bring his flavor or his influence into absolutely everything. Work life, home life, social life, your friends, your finances, the lot. Because you know, if we're born again, we've said to Jesus, here I am, I belong to you, my life is yours. Well, you know, when we pray prayers like that, he takes us seriously. He moves in, it's like, well, I've got it all then. Or have I? I've got it all, or have I? And the more I go on with the Lord, and I'm sure you experience this, those of you who are more mature in faith, I know he really wants to be involved in everything, even the things that I think aren't so spiritual. Just a bit of testimony, some of you know this. For years I wanted a Jeep. I knew at some point I'd need to change my car, and I had my heart set on a Jeep. I love them. I've loved them for years. Love the whole kind of high up military chunkness of them. And chunkiness. And when my exhaust fell off, it was a sure and certain sign it was time to change my car. And at the moment, unfortunately, I can't shop online. It is a great pity. I have silver lining, save myself fortune. But I miss shopping online. But I have two amazing best friends called Pastor Judith, myself. Pastor Judith and San, who do online shopping for me. And the patience of Christ is being formed mightily in them through my request, because I'm a picky shopper. And anyway, I said to them, right, I want a Jeep. I want you to go online and go looking. This is what I want. I want this, I want that, I want that. You know, quite a long list of wants. Primarily, it was to be that nice blue, grey or black, not the red one that looks a bit more like a postman Pat van, in my opinion. Anyway, so that was it. I sent them off on the search, and with a lot of thanks so much, thanks, you're amazing, thanks. And until I pulled up beside a grey Fiat 500 with white alloy wheels, and I thought, blow me, that is the cutest, coolest car I've ever seen. Let's go back and just say, eat a bit of humble pie. You know, you've been searching for really quite a long time now for a Jeep with all those requirements. I've got an even better plan. Da, da, da. Anyway, it's a long old story, but at the end of the day, got the Fiat, and it's just fantastic. The effervescent vitamin C that Pastor Judith used on Thursday, it gives me that fizz. You know, you get that lift on the inside. I only have to see it parked across the road or in the car park. I'm like, oh, that's a happy car. You know, it gives me a lift. And sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. There's a lift. You know, when you're in the will of God and when he's leading you, there's that. Look, there is a lift, isn't there? There's like a fizz. We can get a fizz in the flesh, you know, and we need to make sure it is a fizz in the Spirit, if you get my drift. But there's a, oh, I'm in this. I'm on this. Come on, let's go this way. But anyway, he wants to be involved in everything. And so we need to be talking to him about everything, asking for his opinion on everything, and expecting him to talk back. Listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside, listening to his voice when we read the word. We're in such a privileged position, aren't we? We can actually hear the voice of God himself, who wants to speak into every aspect of life, you know? But he's, you know, I've said this fairly recently because I'm so aware of this. His blessing comes on the detail of our lives as we serve him. Don't expect all the blessing and the gold dust when you're somewhere over there fizzing in the flesh. It won't happen. It just won't happen. It happens in his will. He's really, you know, he's not our servant. He's not here to sprinkle Jesus dust on our plans. Really, he's here to sprinkle the Jesus anointing, really, on his plans and in his will. And one of the titles, because this message has had many titles, this week, but one of the titles of this message was Do What You Know To Do. Do what you know to do. I think if every Christian in the world, think of it, I mean even personally, if we did what we knew to do, oh my, we'd be in some sort of personal revival, truly. And if every Christian in the world did what they know to do, Jesus would shine bright out of our lives. He would be so evident. There would be so much proof of him, manifestation of his presence, evidence of his will in our circumstance and our lives. We would be such a beacon in the world. I believe millions, if not billions, would get saved because we would get the world's attention and it would be compelling. Our lives would be compelling. But sadly, none of us do everything we know to do. We pick and mix. We do some, and we leave some. You know, we kind of do the bits we like, often. But we all know better than we do, and we all know better than we act. And I want to bring a biting scripture this morning, James 1, verse 21 to 22. Most of you know this well. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness or humility the implanted word which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we just hear the word and don't do it, we deceive ourselves. We kind of think we're somewhere we're not. And there's another scripture that says knowledge puffs up. Isn't there? You know that one. Knowledge, it kind of inflates like a balloon. Knowledge without relationship or without obedience to what we know just kind of creates inflated know-it-alls who are frankly quite difficult to be around. People like that, they can quote scriptures. They can justify their behavior. They can turn it on in church and off again when they walk out the door. It's no witness. We never experience the power of God like that. It's just a veneer. Who wants to be in the hole? Not just the polish on the outside when we think it's needed. We deceive ourselves. Jesus said, "You know the scriptures that testify of me. You know them. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." Knowledge and relationship and obedience, it's powerful. But the deception sets in, or the rot sets in, when we hear a lot and don't do it. Look, I speak to myself in this. All of us, if we're honest, we'll put our hands up and say, "Do you know what? I know a lot, but I'm not doing it all." Be interesting if we could put a percentage on it, wouldn't it? None of us could. The Lord could. Quite sure of that. How much we know compared to how much we're doing. You might not, you know, until this message, might not even have been aware of it. And it might not have been an intentional thing. But I think one of the enemy's favorite tactics is busyness. You know, life just gets so busy. And we get so tired out doing all this stuff, you know, and there's not a lot left for Jesus, quite frankly. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, you've got one, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Mostly it's not overt, it's just kind of behind the scenes stuff. And you know, like those wildlife programs, you see the lion waiting, hidden, waiting to pick off a vulnerable one. Does he ever go for the ones that are tied in with the rest of the pack? Never. He goes for the ones on the edge that are kind of a little bit removed, a little bit out, a bit distant. Let's keep tight in with Jesus and tight in church. You know, not Jesus and church on the edge, at a distance, but Jesus and church at the center. Mix Jesus in, mix church in. Jesus, church in the middle. And you know, you might not have found someone exactly like you in church that you can kind of just compare notes with and tick everything and say, oh my goodness, we're just so alike and we get on so well and we think the same. And you know, church is, in the words of Forrest Gump, box of chocolates. There's a whole lot of difference. Actually, no, it's not like that at all, is it? Because in the centre, we are the same. If we're truly born again in the centre, we're all the same. It's the opposite of that. On the outside, we're quite different. But the Bible says, you know, don't know one another after the flesh. Or in other words, don't know one another from the outside. Know one another after the Spirit. Look for God in each other. Listen for God in each other. You know, that's how we're to know each other. Anyway, back to the main bit, which is stir up the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God that's within you. We're all busy. Most of us are busy, at least. Most of us have working lives or, you know, we're working at home, raising children. But God has given us an amazing gift. And I want to talk this morning about praying in the Spirit. This amazing, amazing prayer language that God has given us to connect with Him anytime, any place. I was thinking, as I was walking my dog the other day, praying in the Spirit. It's brilliant. Actually, Kaz said this to me. She said, you can pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit in a mask. Nobody can even see your lips moving. It's fantastic. It's a good one, that, isn't it? And it's like having God on speed dial, but you don't even have to press one button. You just begin to speak, and you're immediately connected. He's listening. But the greatness of praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit is that your spirit is praying directly to God. It is a phenomenal thing. Our heads don't have to limit the prayer. Our heads don't have to take it off in the wrong direction, as they often do. And so many times, let's be honest, we don't even know what to pray. If we're really honest and really humble, actually, we don't really know what to pray. You know what I'm going to say next? Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praying in the Spirit is not just a good way to pray, it's just the best way to pray. Because actually, it's like throwing a dart and hitting the bullseye every time. We're praying the perfect will of God. Not our good ideas, His good ideas. Exactly what needs to happen. And I think sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at our circumstances, or we look at somebody else's circumstances, and it's overwhelming, you know, the kind of trouble that we're in at times. And it can look like a mountain. It can look like a whole mountain range. It's like you look out, it's just Himalayas, one hurdle after another, and your heart fails. And you look at your faith that feels like a mustard seed, and you're like, is it there? Isn't it there? Do I have faith for this? I don't feel like I've got faith for this. Praying in the Spirit builds your faith. You might have weak faith. You might have no faith for something. But if you pray in the Spirit, you build it. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, that's you, that's me, that's you at home. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. If you've been kind of like, you know, I just wish I had more faith. I wish I was stronger spiritually. I wish I was like them or like them. Come on. It doesn't have to be little old you. You can build yourself. You can be a spiritual giant if you pray more like this. Build yourself up in faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We want strong bodies. We want strong and stable souls. But you know, the most important department, if I can put it like that, for you and I to have strength in is the inner man. in your spirit, you need a strong inner man. We need strong and stable spirits. And so we need to pick up again, mix in again, the gift of praying in tongues. Take this personally this morning, because it's for you and it's for me, it's for all of us. Jesus wants you strong on the inside. And so we've got to do things his way. And if you're not baptized in the Spirit yet, or released in praying in tongues, it says just ask. Just simply ask, like a child. Like, can I have an ice cream? But not with doubting. We're going to look at some brilliant verses, because we need to ask in faith. But if you don't have faith, you can get faith by reading his words in his book. Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He wants to give. He wants to give the Holy Spirit, not stingy measure, eking it out, you know, like a small supply. He wants to give generously. We've been singing about how generous he is. He gives generous measures. He wants to give the Holy Spirit. You want to receive the Holy Spirit. So if you're not baptized or released in praying in tongues, just ask him. Get with him and like a child, just say, Lord, I recognize I really need this heavenly language. I want to be able to contact you without my head bothering it or getting involved. I want this gift working. Or, you know, I encourage you to get a faith friend and agree together. But when you ask, you know, it's like you just ask and then you got to keep your focus on him and just begin to worship and just begin to tell him what he means to you. Just love him, honor him. Because we get so kind of, I remember when I was asking for the gift of tongues, you're so focused on your own mouth. What even shape do I make? Somebody said to me, do I even use my voice box? How does this work? Well, yes, you do. You got to give the kind of noise to it, if you like. But your head is such a hindrance in these things, and we just got to almost take your brain out of gear by keeping your focus on Jesus and then just worship him. And then, you know, words will come. If they don't, because I know sometimes they don't, there and then, in the asking, just believe you've received. And just continue to worship and praise him and honor him. The words will come. I had a friend. In fact, it may have even been you. I can't remember. I should have asked you this before. It's a testimony from many, many years ago. But this friend, I remember them telling me, they asked for the gift of praying in tongues, right? And it didn't happen there and then. So they thought, well, they didn't have the manifestation of it there and then. And they went away feeling a bit deflated, then hit a crisis. Was this you? It was Pastor Judith. She could tell it better, I'm sure. Anyway, she hit a crisis. She had an emergency. And you know, when you hit an emergency, your head's all over the place. You can't think straight. But she began to pray. The words came. She's in the crisis. She wanted to pray. She didn't know what to pray. She opened her mouth. Out came the gift of tongues. You see? Ask and you'll receive. Don't give up. Because we need this prayer language. And we need to be using it. And if you've kind of let it drop down in the list of priorities, I urge you this morning, pick that gift up again. Stir up the gift. Because we don't contact him with our brains. Have you ever realized that? You don't contact God with your brain. God speaks every language in this world. He speaks every dialect. You know, there's literally thousands of dialects, even in languages. He speaks them all. He speaks them all. But his primary language is in the spirit. Shidadaba, sandadaba, kamandadaba. As his kids, we need to speak his primary language, because our brains need to not lead us, but our spirits. The spirit needs to lead the brain. Our spirits he needs your spirit to lead your life. Intellect's important. We need it. We couldn't get out of bed and put clothes on without, of course. God needs our brain, but the brain's to be the servant of the spirit. You get to know God in your mind through the word. You get understanding of who he is, what he's promising, what he wants you to do. Everything is in here. And the word feeds your spirit. But you contact him and you relate to him, not with your brain, but with your spirit. Another word for spirit is heart. I know this is kind of quite involved this morning, but I'm really wanting to get something over. Another word for spirit is heart. That's why we often say, pray from your heart. Just be real. Just be honest. Pray from your heart. There's a scripture in Psalm 62, which I just love. Verse 8, it says, "Trust in him at all times, you peoples. Pour out your heart before him." God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart. Don't pray out of your brain. Pray out of your heart. Don't pour out your thoughts. Pour out your heart. Heart to heart. Spirit to spirit. Your spirit to his spirit. To be able to pray in tongues, or to be able to pray in the spirit, is such a privilege and such a valuable gift, because quite honestly, so often we run out of words. You know, and when you're really burdened about a situation or a person, sometimes you just don't know how to pray. You just feel burdened in your heart. To pray in the spirit is a way of handing the burden over. You know, you kind of get it off your chest, quite honestly. You get it. It's like, Lord, you just hand it over by praying like that. But our minds are important, because we need to understand the will of God in our heads. And he wants us to understand the will of God in our heads. And as we pray out in English, we can then understand, okay, Lord, that's what you're saying. That's how you see this. So we're to pray in the spirit, and we're to pray with the understanding. We're to go from tongues to English, English to tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. I know you know this, but this is a refresher, and I'm hoping this is an encouragement for all of us to pick up this precious and amazing gift again. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my head understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I'll pray with the spirit, and I'll also pray with the understanding. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll also sing with the understanding. If all we do is pray in the spirit, our minds can wander, you know, and it kind of gets pretty ineffective. You're not really activating your faith, you just blah, 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 hot air. So we need to switch from tongues to English, but pour out our hearts in tongues and then switch to English. But as you switch to English, you get understanding. You know, as you pray out the will of God that you do know, whatever that is, deliverance from evil, healing, restoration, light in the darkness, the wisdom of God, just praying out what you do know God wants to do in that situation. Often as you pray like that, you pray out a new thought, you know, in English. It's literally like the light going on in a dark room. So many times this happens to me. I'm praying for a person or a situation. I'm praying out what I do know is the will of God. And then suddenly I'll pray out a scripture that I'd never kind of put with that scenario. Lord, raise the valleys. Lift the mountains. Make the crooked places straight. Get their thinking straight. Make the rough places smooth. The harshness. Smooth it out, Lord. Light goes on. It's a spirit-given word. And the Lord wants us to pray with light. He basically wants us to pray with him, you know, with his light on it. And it's like, oh, that's what I need to do, or that's what I need to pray for my kids, for my health, for my work, for my family, for my friends that I'm wanting to reach with Jesus. That's what I need to pray. And so we've got to pick up this gift and use it. And if it's new to you, or if you haven't used it for a while, it's going to feel strange. You know, because it to your head it kind of sounds strange and it can feel strange. But we've got to get over our feelings. Oh, in the whole of life, we've got to get over our feelings and not let them stop us. We've got to just keep going and use our faith. If I could emphasize one thing this morning, when you pray in tongues, because I'm trusting that we will more, immediately use your faith. Immediately start to believe, well, my spirit's getting stronger. My spirit's getting stronger. I'm building my faith like this. I'm praying the perfect will of God into this situation, even though I might not know it in my head. Amazing. We're in the world, but not of it, aren't we? We're not meant to function like they do. Brain power, Google power. I praise God for my brain power, what I do have. And I praise God for Google. But we got more than that. We got Jesus, way superior, you know? And we're called to do life different, like spiritual people. You know, Habakkuk 2 verse 4 says, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just, the humble, the righteous, shall live by his faith." We live, we come alive, we flourish by our own personal faith working. The word "live" there actually means preserved, to be preserved, to flourish, to enjoy life. You know, as you pray like this, praying in the Spirit and strengthen your faith, you get your joy back. You get your peace back. You know, there's no joy or peace when we're trusting in ourselves. Actually, if you've lost your joy or peace, it's a strong indicator you've lost your faith in a certain area or to some extent. But Psalm 46, God is a refuge for us. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. As we pour out our heart before him, as we listen to him, he'll drop a promise in. And in believing that, peace comes. The joy and the peace return. Many, many times I've shared this. And I share it again. For me, the peace of God is just the most valuable, precious thing in my life. There is nothing in this world I would trade for the peace of God. Amazing, amazing. The lies of the enemy comes, trouble from the enemy comes, and it comes in different guises. It comes through circumstances, it comes through people. But if you know God is for me, God is with me, he's going before me, he's leading my way, he hedges me in behind and before, he's got my back. You have peace. Psalm 62 verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." Very often, it's normally when I'm in my home, occasionally in the car, but in a kind of private space, because I just love that verse, but I sing it. I just sing to the Lord, "My soul finds rest in you, my God, I will bless you, Lord." It's an old song. But you know, as I sing to the Lord like that, it's like I get a sense of his presence again. "My soul finds rest in you, my God. I will bless you. At all times, I will bless you. You're my strength, you're my rock, my salvation comes from you." And the rest of faith is priceless. The whole world is stressed. I really mean that. Even people that look as though they got it all together. There's a whole lot of stress under the surface. But there's a rest of faith that we, the people of God, can have that is absolutely priceless. Jesus slept in the storm, didn't he? He wasn't concerned. He knew, "My Father's not going to let me drown. He's got this. He's got me." Believing God brings rest even in storms. The wind and the waves, you see them, you feel them, but you can be calm. You're not worried. God's for me, God's with me. I want to finish with this final verse. It's a scripture I've lived with all week. It's Philippians 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk. Nevertheless, to the degree or the extent that we've already attained, let us walk. To go back to what I was saying earlier, you know a lot. I know a lot. But to the great degree that we've already attained, let us walk. To the level or the extent of what we've already obtained, let us walk. Do what we know to do. Basically, put legs on it. Yeah. What we know to do. Yeah. Love. Forgive. Submit to one another out of reverence for God. Don't get drunk. Come on. Even the basics. All of it. Do what you know to do. Because our God's a jealous God. He wants to be involved in all of it. Every decision. Every bit of life. Don't let circumstances lead you. Don't let other people lead you. Don't let your feelings lead you. I often say to myself, get a grip. Get a grip, get a grip, get a grip on my soul by the Spirit. You know, don't let your soul lead. I mentioned earlier about having a strong and stable soul. It happens when we exalt the Spirit over. We've got to do this. We've got to exalt God over my soul, God over your soul. Confess His Lordship in your life. I'm like, oh, I don't feel good today. Or it might be a physical thing. It might be a soulish thing. But you're just not firing on all cylinders. I just submit my soul to you, Jesus. You're Lord of this body. You're Lord of this mind, of this will. Your will, your way. You might need to submit to God, resist the devil. Do it. Don't let the enemy have your mind as a playground. Come on, kick him out. No. The Lord said to me, and it was to do with sickness, affliction. When our lives are in submission to Him, our enemies, they're His enemies. So with regard to sickness, because I was praying about it, He said to me, this enemy, it's not just your enemy, you know, this is my enemy. This sickness, it's my enemy. Who can stand against God? What can stand against God? Psalm 60 verse 12, through our God we will do valiantly. It is He who shall tread down our enemies. So it's time to stir God up, church. Come on. Come on, use what we have. Do what we know to do. I did say I finished, and I really will nearly finish. But basically, I want to encourage all of us. Let's not be so natural. Let's be the spiritual men and women that God has designed us to be and equipped us to be. We will not win the battles of life with a weak spirit. I'm telling you from God straight this morning, you're not going to win the battles of your life with a weak spirit. We've got to get a strong spirit. She, si, de, ka, bahande, kulada, bahanda, raba. Just begin to speak in the Spirit right now, those of you who are released in the Spirit, which I'm thinking is all of you. She, da, raba, san, da, raba, kaba. Let's stand. Kulele, be, hey, she, da, raba, san, da, raba, karaba. Lehe, shide, sadadadaba. You know, as you pray like this, you start to see as God sees. You start to get an over, not under mentality. She si de ka bahandadaba. Just, if you know God's spoken to you this morning, and this isn't for my benefit, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Those of you at home as well, just raise your hand. This is not for me, as I say, it's for you, because I want you to recognize this is God speaking to me. This is the word of the Lord to me this morning. I've got to pick up the gift of tongues, praying in the Spirit. Pray more. He's the greatest gift of our lives. Stir Him up, church. Stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to do life with Him more, if you want to have Him involved in everything, just in your own words, tell Him. Tell Him, oh Lord, we honor you, we honor you, we honor you. as our God. We thank you that you have been transferred into our physical bodies. You're a spiritual substance, but you're in us, Lord, and you're not in us to lie down, settle down at the bottom, stagnant, ignored. Oh, Lord, I pray, forgive us when we ignore you. Forgive us when we get so busy we don't even reference you in a day. Oh, Lord, I pray for myself and for everybody listening to this message that we will be more mindful of you, that you will remind us to stir up this precious gift that you've given us, this ability to pray in this heavenly language, and we will contact you, connect with you, communicate with you throughout the day. Throughout the day, Lord. Thank you that you want us to be strong. Thank you, Lord, you want to give us strong spirits that enable us to overcome every hurdle of the enemy and the flesh. Oh, Lord, have your will. If that's your prayer, pray it out. Your will, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life. Lord, I want to be everything you want me to be. I want to be that strong beacon of light in this generation. Help me, Lord, to do what I know to do. Holy Spirit, you're a reminder. Remind us. When we're kind of, you know, like a tennis court and your foot's about to go off the edge, out of the will of God, Holy Spirit, remind us at that point. And when you do remind us, I pray that we won't ignore you, that we'll just align ourselves back into the will of God. Do it, Lord, we pray. We call you Lord, but I pray that you will be Lord. In reality, in the detail. We ask this in Jesus' name, and if it's your prayer, amen it. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, I hope that has been... I trust it has been a blessing, but more than a blessing. I pray that it's been a real kind of giddy up. Come on, do what you know to do. Do what you know to do and see more of Jesus out. Remember this. Involved in everything, shaken and stirred into every aspect of life so that when people speak to you, they hear God. When people look at your life, they see God because he's just mixed in. He's mixed in, not down at the bottom. Praise God. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.